And also please verse 17. And verse 18. Okay, here mentioned verse 18, Joshua war against them for a long time. It's not a few months. This is only a summary. But revisiting it and then count the days, it almost, according to some scholar, it took Joshua probably almost like 7 years. It could be just in time of a few years or probably 7 years for Joshua to capture all the main cities and the whole land. And let's jump to verse 23. Next, please. So this is the conclusion of the campaign, which Joshua took the whole land, and there was no more war. But bear in mind, when the Bible said Joshua took the whole land, it actually referred to he took all the strategic big cities, all the main strongholds, all the kings. They were destroyed and captured. So if you read chapter 12 on, there were totally 31 kings and city were destroyed. Next, verse 24. Chapter 12, verse 24. Next. So all the kings recorded here, totally 31 kings. So this is a general statement that Joshua captured the whole land, killed 31 kings and cities. But in fact, there were some people, some Canaanites, they are still stubbornly hanging around there, and yet is to be chased out, to be kicked out, or to be destroyed. But when Joshua divided the land, they were still there. But the strongholds, the biggest cities, were taken over. So bear in mind, chapter 11, verse 23 is a general statement. But there are still some land to be taken. Because if you read chapter 13, verse 1, next, chapter 13, verse 1. Okay, and then 2. Okay, so this statement tells us that even when Joshua was very old, there was still much land to be taken, including the land in the Philistine area near the sea and some other part of Canaan. But God still told Joshua, you just divided the land according to my promise, because in the very near future, you and your people will chase them out. I'll give you the promise. You will do it, and you'll be successful. Verse 6 and 7. Next. Now, this is how God works. Look at this story, right? Still work in progress. Joshua kicked out 31 kings, destroyed them. They control strategically, but there are still some smaller problem. But you cannot wait all, you solve all the smaller problems before you can divide the land. You have to divide it first. And then God said, even though there were smaller problems, smaller kings, but he told Joshua, have faith. I have promised you, you and your people will drive them all out. You will have the power to drive them all out. All you do is just divide it. Don't wait until you remove all every single problem, every single enemies, and then divide it. No, divide it first. Believe that my promise will come true. And then work on the rest. This is how God wants his people to work. And then if you have faith, this will carry out as God planned. Now, translate in your own life, brother and sister. God wants us to have faith on him. Yes, sometimes you look at your life, you still have problems. Things didn't work out as much as you want that perfect. Think of you. How many of you think you have a perfect life right now? How many of you think, oh, life is so perfect for me, you know? Everything that I have is good. It's 100%. You know, my parents loving, their marriage is perfect. My siblings love me so much. No jealousy, no fighting. I go to school, every subject, 100%. Academically, all GPS 4.0. And then I'm a sportman, whatever sport I do, you know. And I'm so good looking. And I'm so tall and handsome and beautiful, in good shape. In the church, you know, I have all the gifts. And my life, I have no worries. Who can say he can have this? I think only in dreams, right? Only in dream. One day you dream that, you know, I'm just like that. Someday I dream that I'm like that too. But when I wake up, oh, it's different, right? But God never promised. Everything has to be perfect first. You will have something called imperfection. You have something, you have some problem still outstanding for you to work on. You will have something bugging you, right? Still, you haven't drive out. You're still not so-called complete success in worldly standard or spiritual standard. But doesn't matter. Life is not God give you a perfect pipe, like a perfect circle for you to enjoy. God give you something imperfect. God deliberately leave something for you to work on. If you don't work on it, if you sit at that, and then you complain, you never receive the full promise. But God told Joshua, chapter 13, verse 1, underline this. Very important for all of us. You are old, but there's still a lot of land to be taken. So life is a work in progress, brothers and sisters. You are still young. Life doesn't mean that you graduate, everything is fine. Doesn't mean that you get married, you find the right person, everything is fine. Doesn't mean you already have a few child, you are happy family, everything is fine. Whatever stage you are is always a work in progress. And there are always things for you to conquer. And there's always new problem, even though you solve the old problem. But believe in God's promise. Just divide the land first. Just do your duty. Your duty is to kick out the rest of the Canaanites. Verse 12, chapter 13, verse 6. God will help you to kick them all out, and you have to kick them out. You have to cleanse the land. You have to overcome this problem. But why do we have so much strong faith that God will carry us through? Because God has already driven out the 31 kings. So if you look at chapter 12 of Joshua, it brings us to how God helped Moses and Joshua defeat so many kings in our life, defeat so many old problems. And now, looking back, and then you look forward. If the biggest problem God already helped me to solve, then in the front, I shouldn't be afraid. 31 kings in total, right? So, brother and sister, think about your own life. What are the unclaimed land? What are the next things? Maybe if you're still graduating, you're still struggling for your future. That is the unclaimed land. If you already graduated, you need a job, stable job, stable career. That is the unclaimed land. If you got a job already, stable, but you still haven't found someone in your life, that is the next challenge, right? Everyone have our next challenge. Or in church, our holy work. We have still a lot of things to be done. But trust in the Lord. He has guided you through in the past. He will carry you on. Now let's turn to chapter 13. Before they can fully enjoy the promise of God, they have to do something. I'll make the topic called to clean the land. Not only to take the land, but to clean the land. Chapter 13, verse 22. Next. Okay, so here especially record one thing. Not only when they go in, they kill the kings, but they specifically identify some person, a prime enemy of the people of Israelites. Who was he? Balaam the sorcerer. He was a very wicked person. He was loving money, so he was hired by the king of Balak, the Amorites, to curse the Israelites. But God stopped him. His curse turned to blessing. But this man, he was so wicked. He knows that we cannot curse the Israelites directly. But he gave a scheme to the king how to harm the people of Israelites. Send a lot of women, probably beautiful one. Don't send the ugly one, of course. Send a beautiful one. Let them dress provocatively. Let them talk sweetly. And then go to the camp of Israelites. Wow, you know, Israelites men, when they see this Moabite woman, this Ammonite woman, what did they see? What did they feel? Wow, I never see a woman like this. You know, Israelite women are boring. Israelite women were so conservative. They cover the whole body, you know. You don't see anything. You see only they see the face, probably seeing the eyes. But look at this Moabite woman. They dress so revealing. They are so sweet in talking. They are so proactive. They took the initiative. They talked to the man. I tell you what happened at that day. All the men of Israelites melted immediately. All the garden was removed. These Moabite women go in and talk to them nicely and capture their hearts. First of all, capture their eyes and capture their hearts. And then bring them to bed, and then entice them to eat the food for idols. And then on that day, many of the young men of Israelites were killed. So many of them. Right in front of the boundary when they are about to enter the promised land. So what does that tell us? Brothers, especially brothers, Gentile women are so dangerous. Yes, they are very beautiful compared to our sister. Because they know how to use makeup. Not because they are really beautiful, but just because they use so much makeup and they dress very provocatively. Our sister is truly even more beautiful but they hide it. They hide it for their future husband, right? They preserve themselves. They are a little bit more shy. Right? They are taught to wait for the law, protect themselves, keep themselves, talk decently, dress decently. So that you may think that, oh, church sister is boring. Outside women are more attractive, but it's not. Right? Those are fake. Those are fake images. Even though, yes, maybe physically they are more attractive, but they are deadly. If your heart got attracted, you commit fornication with them. For them, they have no shame. They have been sleeping around with other guys. If they are beautiful, when I tell you. If they are beautiful, when most probably, they are not virgin. Because they have been dating since maybe junior high school. Even some nowadays, primary school girls, grade 4, grade 5, they say they are dating already. Right? So those, I'm not saying every one of them. But most likely, if you see outside women, yes, they may be beautiful, but they are not pure. They are already fornicated multiple times. They don't have God in their heart. And if you date them, if they come close to you, if you are not careful, let them come close to you and capture your heart, capture your eyes. commit fornication, your spiritual life finished. So be very careful. So this man, Balaam, he was so wicked. He sent this woman to destroy Israel. Our church sister is so pure, we always emphasize. They are waiting for the Lord. Our brother need to keep yourself and wait for the promise of the Lord and don't be enticed. Otherwise, you cannot go to the land of Canaan in the future. So God told the people, cleanse the land. They find Balaam and kill him. This represents to kill the lust. Write it down, brothers, especially. Kill the lust, kill the sources of temptation, kill this false prophet. He was a prophet, but later turned false prophet. He loved money. He was giving this very best scheme. So you have to remove him, kill him. Spiritual teaching is very clear. You have to cleanse the land by doing that. And another point of cleansing the land is we must be reminded, do not mingle, do not intermarry with the Canaanite woman. Otherwise, you will lose your blessing. Let's jump to chapter 23. Jump to Joshua chapter 23, verse 7. Next. This was the last word of Joshua before he died. He was worrying about one thing, that do not mingle with the people of the land, because they were not determined enough to drive out all these Gentiles. They were. It's not that God didn't promise. God already promised, but they were so lazy to do it. They were not determined to drive them out. They take the easy way. They think that it's okay, let them stay. We have so many lands, right? Let them stay. Or some of them think that, they are too strong to be driven out. We don't want to put into the effort. So they disobey God by allowing Gentiles stay in the land in some of the places. They don't want to do the hard work. So that would become a fact. They were not determined. So Joshua was so worried. Now, there are so many Gentiles among us. If you guys started to mingle with them, then we will be polluted. We will be defiled, and our nation will not be pure. And our family, our young men, they will be enticed to worship idols. So where did the problem come from? Later, we see that in the book of Judges, they were corrupted so fast, right? And then later, they were destroyed. Why? Why that happened? Because of marriage problem. Let's turn to 12. Verse 12, the same chapter, chapter 23, verse 12. Next. These two verses is Joshua talking to the man, the young man, who is about to make decision about marriage. But of course, it can also refer to sister too, which you are also facing your future decision of marriage. But mainly it's talking to man, because man is the one who take the choice, take the first step, and then take the initiative. Joshua told them, if you turn even slightly, remember what he said here. Even you turn very slightly from the right way, not totally. Don't think that, I have to make great sin against God to be able to remove from the promise. No, you don't have to make great sin on that day. You just turn slightly. when you are driving a car, when you are going in high speed, have you ever experienced? Sometimes you're falling asleep. How many of you fall asleep behind the wheel? Fall asleep a little bit, you turn your wheel a little bit. What happened? You go to the other lane. Even 1 second can kill you. Don't say, oh, I have to turn this way. If you turn this way, of course, you die instantly, right? But if you even you're a little bit turning the wheel to the right or to the left, you leave your lane, you hit on the sign. Our faith is like this. You don't have to deviate greatly to fail. You just deviate slightly. And where did it start, this slightly deviation? It's from your heart of your marriage, especially young men like you, like all of us, and young sister. If you allow this to happen, if you allow your heart to be attracted by someone who is not God-fearing, who doesn't keep themselves pure, even though they are beautiful, now you get married of them, very likely, the Bible said, verse 12, you intermarriage with them, the boundary become blurred. Well, whoever belongs to God and doesn't belong to God is very clear, clear cut. But the boundary is no more there. And then, verse 13, you will know the Lord will not continue to help you. And then they will become your snare, your trap, the thorn in the bush, in the side, until you got destroyed. And sadly, it happens a few hundred years later, after they entered the land of Canaan. It's all because of marriage problem. It starts with marriage. The idols come into the land of Israel through marriage. So, brother and sister, now you are the promised people. God already gave you the promised land. In this life is our faith in our heart, peace and joy. In future, the promised land is heaven. But that one, that future land, you haven't claimed it. You are still working on it. But one biggest obstacle for you is marriage. If you still haven't found your another half in Christ, you are still not saved. I'm very serious. If you have found another half in Christ, your chance of making to the end is highly increased. But you still haven't found that one yet? Of course, another case is you have the gift of being single. That's even better. You don't have to worry to make your wife happy. You don't have to worry about memorizing the day of anniversary, birthday, whatever days. If you have the gift of being single, it's even better. Like Paul said, but now it's difficult, right? Very difficult to have the gift of being single. Then if not, having the gift of being single, then you have to pray that God prepare someone for you to walk this heavenly journey. Even from in college, you should start praying very seriously. Pray for your marriage, that God give you someone you can walk the heavenly journey together. I still remember me and my wife, after we married, we thank God we have the same idea, we have the same thinking. When I was in college, I was told, you must marry in the Lord. There's no other choice, no other option. You must marry in the Lord. But I didn't know how important it is. Until later, God blessed me and my wife with a set of twins. We really thank God, it's twin boys. Very cute. When they were born, but they were premature for 2 months. They were so tiny. One is 1.23 kilo, one is 1.24 kilo. And 1 week after they were born, the second one got sick so seriously. The doctor had to operate him, open his tummy, and to remove part of the intestine because of blockage. Wow, there was so much challenge. I still remember the day that the operation, me and my wife, knee down in the room while having operation, we go to the room and pray and pray and pray and cry. And on that moment, I suddenly realized marriage is not about how beautiful the other side is. It's not about, vacation. It's not about candlelight dinner. It's not about traveling together. It's about when you are facing difficulties. See whether you and your wife can pray together in one heart, same faith. Even though we cry together. Even though we face difficulty, we face it together. Even though in the prayer we cry, but thank God, we know that God is within us. At the time, if I were thinking, if I marry a Gentile, if I marry an unbeliever, then I'm crying, praying, and then I would tell her, let's pray together. And she'd say, what is prayer? How to pray, tell me. They'll be too tired. There'll be too much problem to train her from beginning, because start from zero. So, really, husband and wife is about going through tough time together. Because in your life, tough time will be more and more and more than super happy time. Most of the time will be normal time in marriage. Nothing really happened, just routine. Sometime will be happy, but sometime will be difficult. So you and your wife, can you, or husband, can you share the same idea, same faith, kneel down together, even cry together in prayer to God and serve God together? So this is a very important reminder that all the brothers and sisters, pray for your marriage, that God prepares someone to walk the heavenly journey together. Other things are really not important. Really, at the end, all the factors not that important, right? Yeah, maybe you think the look is very important, especially brothers. Yeah, you think sister look is very, very important, right? But I tell you, after giving birth for a few children, they all look the same, right? Really? And for brothers, after 10, 20 years, you all look the same, right? Getting old, losing hair, bigger tummy, right? Hunchback. You look at all the senior, right? I always say something. Babies and senior, they all look the same. I mean, when all the babies, yeah, they all look the same, right? And when people get really old, they all look the same. Similar. This is aging. But the heart is what important, what keep the people together. So, lower your standard. Don't judge by the eyes. And sister, too. Nowadays, sister, you are very talented. Many sisters actually are much smarter than our brothers, right? School-wise, work-wise. But, you know, God wants you to help them. God wants you to help your future husband. Not to find a perfect one so that, oh, he take care of you only, right? God wants you to help your future husband. So you have to lower yourself. Yes, you are smart, but don't be too smart. Even though you are stronger, you are smarter. But God wants us to humble so that you can, if you want to enter marriage, you have to lower yourself. If you want to have a good marriage, you must learn to humble yourself. Nowadays, some marriages, even in a church, doesn't work out well. Why? Because brother is too selfish after getting married, and sister is too proud even after getting married. So marriage is very important. So you have to pray and ask God to guide. Now, going back to the book of Joshua, now they have the promise of God. They started to divide the land. Let's come back to Joshua 13. Now, even though they have God's promise, but they are lazy. They don't really work hard to capture the land. Let's read chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 63. Chapter 15, verse 63. Next. Okay, and then chapter 16, verse 10. Next. And then chapter 17, verse 12 and 13. Next. These tell us, the three verses we read told us that there were people, Judea people, they didn't or they couldn't drive out the land, drive out the people of Jebusites in Jerusalem, 1563. And then from chapter 16, verse 10, talk about the Manasseh, they failed to drive the people out from Kish. Chapter 17, verse 12, also talk about the Manasseh people, they failed to drive them out because they enjoy them being a free labor. So there are three reasons that people did not drive the people out. Summarizing it. First, they think they couldn't. It's too hard. Second, they don't even try. They're just lazy. Thirdly, they enjoy the benefits of free labor. So they are the three reasons they don't drive them out. And no matter what are these three reasons, this gives them the future failure. This contributes for their future failure. Because they didn't drive them out, they keep bugging them in the future. And then provide the chance for intermarriage. Because of these three reasons. God already given the promise, but you have to suffer, you have to work hard to get this realized. But our problem is, brothers and sisters, look at this. This could be your problem. First of all, you don't even try, you are lazy. Very few people are very stupid, right? Or retarded. Very few people. If God make you born like this, you thank God, right? If you're really stupid or you really cannot, you know, do anything well, you are born like that, we still thank God, God make you this way, right? But very few people are like this. Most of the people are on average. God make our brain, even average, your brain, your mind can do a lot of things. If you push it hard, if you learn hard, right? Your hand, your skill, you can do a lot of things. But if you don't even try to let God to use the full capacity, then you fall short of what's God's promise, right? When you are studying, let's say, you have to push hard to the full limit. When you are learning something, you have to push yourself hard. Now, spiritually, the same. God promised you something. You have to really work hard to get it. But if you don't even try, you're lazy. There's nobody to blame, only yourself. Secondly, you think it's too hard. You try, but you didn't try that hard. You try and think, oh, they are too strong. Now, brother and sister, if you face the difficulties, do you really put on the effort to try and struggle and rely on the power of God? Don't just try a little bit and then say, oh, I've tried, but didn't work out. I know nowadays, because some of us, or most of us, come from good family background, comfortable life, sometimes we don't want to suffer. Right? We think that, oh, I tried already, but doesn't work out. Come on, try harder. Try one more time. Try until you're successful. Yes, the Jebusites are difficult. But you cannot just try one time and go home. Right? Go back, regroup, train, attack them again. God will help you. So, brother and sister, when you face your difficulties, do you have this kind of relaxed attitude? Oh, yeah, I try, you know, but it didn't work. Try until you get it. Don't blame it on other people. Don't blame on the difficulties. God already given you the promise. You will tackle your problem. You can defeat it. The third one, the reason is they just enjoy they are being around. This is even worse. They enjoy the problem being around. At one hand, they say, yes, this is my problem. But at the same time, they don't want to get rid of it because they think that, well, this gives me the excuse, right? I'm just like that, you know? I'm born like that. My family treat me like this. That's why I'm like this right now, right? At the same time, you're hiding inside. You're trying for your refuge. For example, if you're having an addiction, addiction is your problem. You know it. If you keep this addiction, you fail all your courses, and you're not getting anywhere in the future. You know addiction is bad, but at the same time, you enjoy addiction. Oh, I can't get rid of it. And at the same time, every time I use that addiction, I feel pretty good. And why should I get rid of it? This is our problem. This is the worst problem. You enjoy the Canaanites being around. Isn't it your case, brothers and sisters? You enjoy the sin. You enjoy the weakness. You want people to sympathize you. You don't want change because, oh, I'm just like that. Now people will come and, you know, think that, wow, poor you, you know. But actually, you enjoy the sympathy. You enjoy the free labor. If that is the case, then I tell you, your life will be pretty miserable from then on. Because these weaknesses that you don't want to get rid of will come back to you. So, are you having these three? First of all, laziness. Secondly, well, you don't even want to try. You don't try hard. And thirdly, you enjoy this Canaanites. Hope that it will not be in our case. Let's pray in silence.